Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandi Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, over-functioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Oh my gosh, Caitlin Parsons, where do we even start? She is also known as the Aligned Hygienist. She is an ergonomics guru. She's all about mind, body, spirit alignment. And obviously, she's a fantastic hygienist and a yoga therapist. In this episode, she shares a lot about her story and what brought her to practicing these modalities, not only for herself, but also for our industry. In my opinion, which you'll hear multiple times throughout this episode, is I really think everyone should find her or someone like her and pursue this kind of work to really be able to ensure that you feel really good in your body and also how that leads to feeling better emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as well. In dentistry, we are so hard on our bodies and we also carry so many emotions throughout the day, not just from what's going on within our teams, but also seeing patients from all walks of life and the emotions that they come in with when they see you, whether it's, you know, saying hello to you at the front desk or even working with you as a patient and you as a provider. And her work is so powerful because it's really tuning into your body. And our bodies are instruments at the end of the day, and we are our number one investment. So if we're not taking care of ourselves, we, you know, our lives aren't going to be that much enjoyable and we're going to struggle. We're going to be in pain. And so this, her work really helps alleviate some of that pain. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have this conversation with her. And she's just an incredible human. And I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Caitlin, thank you so much for being with me today. I have been really looking forward to this conversation. Ever since I met you a few years ago, I knew that you were somebody that had so much depth and you cared so deeply about people in the industry. And you just approach the dental space and also the world of hygiene in such a beautiful, balanced way. And I really admire that about you. And I know you've been on a journey to get to the place where you're at today. And there's reasons why you're so passionate about what you're passionate about. And I'm really excited to share you with everybody. If everyone doesn't know about you already, I'm just really excited to introduce you to everyone that listens here today. So thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And kind of as you shared, life has been a little crazy. And that is in so many ways why I'm so passionate about the work that I do, is because of so much that I've experienced. And really what I teach and what I love to share about is experience, is based from experiences that I've gone through. So yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah. So let's just dive right into it, because one of the things you're really passionate about is ergonomics, and you're known as the Aligned Hygienist, which is such a beautiful name because I know alignment to you means more than just the body, and we'll get into that. But ergonomics is so critical. And I mean, I've been around dentistry for close to 20 years, and every time I go into an office and I see people working with patients or even sitting at a desk or anything, like my body hurts looking at their bodies contorting in these positions. And I've also worked with many doctors who at the later stages of their careers simply can't practice anymore because they've had to have procedures done and things like that, that, you know, it's inhibited them, whether it's nerve damage, damages to their hands, you know, et cetera. So I love that you're doing this kind of work, and it's so critical, especially I'm guessing compounded with where we're all at now with using technology when we're not in the office, right? Where people are on their phones or hunched, you know, everyone's hunched over on their phones or on their computers, slumping, you know, it's just, it's such a thing now. So if they're doing, everyone's doing that in their off time, then they're coming into work and distorting their bodies there too. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, what you see and how you're helping folks. So would you mind telling us about your ergonomics journey and why you're doing the work you're doing now?
I would love to. You hit so many good points there. So I've been a hygienist for just about 17 years. And within 1 year of practicing as a dental hygienist, I began experiencing pain. And what started as just some of the left neck and shoulder tightness and tension ignored led to acute neck and shoulder pain. I had chronic lower back pain, and it started just to get worse within a year. I ignored it. I kept working 5 and 6 days a week, like hustle mindset, pay off my student loans, all of that. And it led me to a place of really hard burnout within 2 years of practicing as a hygienist. And at the time that I started to realize what I was experiencing, it wasn't really a conversation, right? Social media wasn't as common as it is now. And there weren't those conversations. So I started to realize, like, oh, I'm not alone. And this is actually really common for dental professionals. So anyway, I just finally one day got fed up with complaining and just being in the place that I was, because I described it recently that it wasn't just the pain, but I became a duller version of myself with my patients, with the life that I led, all of those things. So I stumbled into a yoga class, and it was a hot yoga class, which is the opposite of what I teach now. But after going to a few classes, I realized that I felt a little bit better. My pain decreased just a little bit. And I remember going into my operatory one day, op five, at my office, I just had this realization. I wanted to figure out first, was there a therapeutic approach to yoga, or was there anyone out there that was teaching yoga that was specific to the work that we do as dental professionals? And there really wasn't. It was just general yoga to dental professionals. And so in that moment, I just decided, I didn't know what the heck it looked like, but I knew that I wanted to study yoga in a more therapeutic form of yoga, which wasn't common then, so I could understand and heal my own body and then help other dental professionals do the same. So 6 months later, I quit my job after 3 years. I moved to Vermont, did my first yoga teacher training, knowing that I wanted to move to San Diego because it was just more progressive out there. There wasn't any yoga programs at the time. This was 2011, yoga therapy programs. So I entered into, as I was waiting for my hygiene license, started my second yoga teacher training that was a more therapeutic approach, and then became a yoga therapist over the course of, like, I don't know, 4 years or something like that. It was 1,000 hours for just my yoga therapy program, all knowing that I wanted to understand my own body, to understand how to improve my own posture, to heal from some of these injuries that I had, and to help other dental professionals do the same. And over the course of that time, I had carpal tunnel syndrome at one point. I had hip issues. I've had like a host of things. And I started to feel a lot better just from the therapeutic yoga practices that I was doing. But I was realizing, kind of like what you were saying, that if we're focusing on what we're doing outside of the op or outside of the office, doesn't even matter if you're front office as well. And then we go into the office and we have horrible posture and ergonomics, we're not getting the same results. And same thing if we're just focusing on our ergonomics and we're not focusing on what we can do outside of the office, we're missing a huge piece. So I started to realize, like, okay, it's time I really stop using my chicken wings, stop practicing at 7 o'clock because I'm left-handed. But I started to make changes with my ergonomics. And over that time, I began as a yoga therapist working with clients one-on-one. So I was teaching yoga therapy classes. I was teaching yoga for healthy back classes, working one-on-one with people that had either chronic or acute pain and injuries. And I realized, even just working with them, I wanted to do more with them than just yoga exercises on a yoga mat. I became more curious about, well, if you're in pain after you work all day, what's your work posture? And then if one client I had, he would have pain after he played volleyball, which was every week. It was his like life. So I went and watched him play volleyball and watched his like movements while he played volleyball. So it all became like there is way more than just one piece of the puzzle that makes a big difference. So that was a long-winded version and story for why I do what I do now.
No, it's beautiful, and I have so many questions. So, for those that probably aren't familiar, like, what is the difference between being a yoga instructor and a yoga therapist? Because it sounds like there's a distinction there.
Yeah, distinction in training and usually mindset. This is, if you're close to me, you know, one of my pet peeves is when someone calls me a yoga instructor. I'm like, surely it's like a dental hygienist being called an assistant or like whatever it is, right? A yoga teacher, to be a yoga teacher, you technically don't need training for most studios now require it, but a basic yoga teacher training is 200 hours. An advanced yoga teacher training is 500 hours, and a certified yoga therapist is 1,000 hours. And in my yoga therapy training, especially because I was so focused, I knew what I wanted to do and help with. I worked with chiropractors, I worked with physicians, I worked with surgeons for like pre-op or post-op care. But yoga therapy is really using all of the parts of a yoga practice, not just fancy yoga poses, but our breath, meditation, and inward focus, all of these components to holistically support either an individual person or a group of people. So in my case, dental professionals and the work we do, sitting for long periods of time, looking down at our patients. So that is yoga therapy.
Yeah, and so what are some of the biggest things you see when people are, like you're saying, really struggling with like the ergonomic positioning? What are some of the common stuff you see, I guess, anyone that's working chairside or even office, you know, front office, I'm sure as well.
One is definitely either forward head posture or looking down at our patients all day. I'm sure a lot of us have seen that image of the person with their head either in alignment or, you know, head a little bit forward and how much weight that adds to our body if our head is forward. It's like a bowling ball. So if our head is even an inch forward, it adds like 10 pounds of pressure to our neck, to our spine, and can do a lot of damage. So one is looking down at our patients. Rounded shoulders is just a big one that usually comes with a forward head carriage or looking down. And we see that more, just like you mentioned at the beginning, with just our culture. We have our phones and we're looking down constantly, and that weight adds to the rest of our body, right? That slouched position, the weight of our head. But then we see it all the time chair side as well, when we're looking down at our patients or even rounding forward to look inside of the mouth or a specific area of the mouth. Another one we see commonly is habits like twisting when you're in the operatory. So twisting can be if you're sitting for right-handed practitioners, this can be being at a 7 or 8 o'clock position where we're not in alignment. Our head, our shoulders, our hips are not aligned towards the area that we're working at. And rather at a 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock position, our hips are in a different direction as our torso. And if we're doing that all the time, over and over, habits in our body and imbalances. And this can even be if we're doing habits like twisting, if we have a rear delivery system, twisting back to get whatever it is we need throughout the patient appointment. And then the last one I see a lot is just incorrect either patient positioning or practitioner positioning. So the patient chair is too high or the back is not low enough. So we have to literally contort our body and work like little fish or little shrimp when we're in pop. Those are probably the most common three that I see.
Yeah, and as you're talking about this too, I'm just envisioning like the stress that happens in a dental office too, and the probably emotional stress that a lot of providers and front office, you know, are picking up from patients coming in, whether they're in duress, they're frustrated, they're in pain, you know, there's all these things going on as well. And I like to think I'm pretty in tune with my body, and I had a hip injury like years ago, a total fluke thing, and it's something that I've been working on for a long time. And one of the things I really had, you know, I've got to know is the emotional weight that we carry and the impact that tension and stress also holds in our body and the impact that that can have. And so I'm imagining too, with your, you know, yoga therapist certification, living and breathing the world of dentistry, ergonomics, really, you know, honoring this holistic lifestyle, that you're very well aware too of the emotions that and what that can do to the body, right? So like I can tense up, like if you're with a difficult patient or you're stressed as well, working on a difficult case, you know, I know so many providers can get really stressed and worked up if they're going into a challenging case. And there's that tension in addition to how we're positioning our body. I mean, that just must compound things so much as well. And is that something that you focus on in yoga therapy too, is kind of breathing through and releasing the stress and tension that people carry in their bodies?
Yeah, man, Brandy, you're hitting so many pieces of this, because the stress in a dental office is not that it's unique from other healthcare professions, but most people that are in the dental office, a lot of them do not want to be there. So there's the patient stress, there's maybe team dynamics and things going on there, a lack of systems and protocols in the office that make it more stressful. And then there's, of course, just maybe individual patients or procedures that are more challenging that increase stress. And like you said, when we're stressed, typically our breathing changes, our breathing becomes faster, becomes more shallow typically, and we are in a sympathetic state, and pain and stress are directly connected. So if we're not managing our stress on top of what might be going on in our body, that, right, the pain is going to increase. It's going to be a lot harder to heal from any injuries if we're in a state of stress. And then I'm an emotional person. I really care about the patients that I see and the job that I do and all of that. And so if we're holding on to all of that, it creates so much more tension in our body and our mind and our energy and the way we show up. And I mean, there's so many studies on how emotional cells are kind of held inside of our body, and doing things like yoga or just specific movement and releasing practices can actually release the muscle tension and the emotions that are stored in that.
Yeah, I've told you this since the beginning, but I'm a huge fan of you and your work. And I just think it's so, so, so important, because so many people numb out, you know, and become so detached from our bodies. And then we accept the pain that we're in, and we just a lot of times people think, oh, this is aging, you know, I'm just getting older, like my body's gonna hurt, you know, and pop a couple Advil and then that keeps going, and we just mask the pain instead of addressing it. And I'm somebody that's always taken really good care of myself and have taken my health really seriously, but when I hurt my hip, you know, after years of poor posture and poor use, you know, being a runner, and then I went into yoga and I started taking a bunch of yoga classes, but I was using it as a way to actually be even more abusive to my body. I was going really hard at yoga. I was doing the opposite of what yoga teaches, which we see a lot of, and I'm sure you have a lot of opinions on this.
I do.
I know. I bet. I was doing it more for like sport, and I wasn't using it as a way to connect with my body. And it was more of like another thing I was challenging my body to do. And again, I went too far and I messed my hip up. And then that, I didn't take time to heal it. That caused some issues with my low back. And then I just started, you know, holding my body differently as a result. And man, it just like, it was a downhill, you know, it was just a cascade effect of so many things, to the point where my leg was almost like not working, you know, and I had to go through all of this emotional work, and I had to unpack a lot of it to even get to the root of like, why am I treating my body this way? Why am I, you know, so detached, and really taking the time to rewire my relationship with my body, because I've always been a competitive person. I've always been a go-getter. And that was just another extension of just these extremes, you know, that I was putting my body through. So with all that too, I know what it's like, not extreme like many people out there, but pain management. And when you're in chronic pain, that is a big deal. And like you experienced early in your career, you know, I'm so grateful for you that you recognized it early and started getting the help, but not a lot of people do. And they don't realize the toll it takes on their nervous system and their emotional well-being.
Yeah.
You know, people that are living in chronic pain are no fun to be around, and they're miserable too.
Yeah, it affects so many areas of our lives. I mean, it affects so many areas of our body if we're in chronic pain, kind of like what you said with your hip. If your hip is hurting and it's constantly hurting, we kind of baby that area, or we stop using it. And if we're not doing exercises or movement or supporting that area, it just keeps getting worse. And I've seen that with so many clients that I work with. Yeah, there were so many pieces in there that I wanted to touch on, but I love this one study. First of all, I'm really passionate about yoga, but there's so many different types of yoga. It would be like saying every dental office is the same. We know that is not the case, right? And there's so many different styles of yoga. I'm not here to say that hot yoga or the faster paced yoga is wrong. I think we just have to be really intentional of why we're doing this practice and be really aware of our body. Because if we're in any fast paced movement or exercise class and we are not aware of our bodies, we are more prone to injuries, right? And pushing ourselves past because we're not paying attention. There's this one study that I love that it's for yoga, using yoga for people with lower back pain or chronic lower back pain. And it was the yoga group did only 6 sessions of a general yoga class, and they had less back pain, better back function, but they also had higher pain self-efficacy scores, meaning that they understood their body's pain level and how to pay attention to it, but they also understood how they could resolve that pain more easily than another group could. And I think that's so powerful for us in dentistry, especially because we are go, 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 go. And we are up against, you know, production goals and schedules and these maybe challenging cases or patients, that if we allow ourselves, we can be so disconnected from our body and just shuffle through the day. But if we have a deeper awareness of our bodies, we can know our limits. We can go home from work that day and start working on our body because we're paying attention. But we also know the things that can help both in the op and outside of the op. And I think that's really, really powerful.
Yeah, I love that. And also just that emotional awareness, that self-awareness, we're recognizing. I mean, I meet so many doctors later in their careers that have become really grumpy. And yes, there's a lot of things that play into that, but a lot of times I think they're just in physical pain.
Yeah.
Like they're just at this point. I mean, I've met countless docs who are just like, something hurts all the time, and they're frustrated with that. And then it gets in their head that, oh, I'm getting old, or I'm washed up, or I'm this or I'm that. And we start telling ourselves these stories, and then we become our thoughts. And then again, it's the downward spiral, right? And I like what you're saying, because there's even just, you know, there's nuance that you can, you know, there's moves you can do that it doesn't mean you need a hip replacement. I mean, honestly, I did. I went to an orthopedic doc, and of course, you know, he was like, oh yeah, we should replace your hip. And I was like, still pretty young, and intuitively, I'm like, no way, what? And of course, they wanted to cut me open and take my money and give me a new hip. And then I was like, I know better than this. I'm going to go to more of the holistic route, which I did. And I got the care and the help that I needed. And now I see, you know, my chiropractor, applied kinesiology, functional medicine doc, and he does these really cool, you know, just gentle manipulations with loosening my low back. And it just keeps my hip in check. And as I'm getting older, I sit a lot, you know, it's like, I'm not moving around as much as I would want to be. And just doing some of those gentle movements, like, changes my hip completely. And, you know, some people think I need a new hip, or I'm going to need new surgery, or I'm going to need to do something that's really dramatic. And like you're saying, it's just, in some cases, it's just really holding your body in a different way, or doing some gentle movements that can help ease that, which I like.
When I moved to San Diego and I was waiting for my hygiene license, started my second yoga teacher training that was more therapeutic, I started to get carpal tunnel syndrome. And a lot of it was my positioning at the front office. And same with you. I went to a doctor, and the doctor gave me 2 things. She gave me a prescription for pain meds, and she also gave me a referral for a surgeon. And in that moment, same with you, I was like, I'm 20, I think I was 24 years old. I was like, absolutely not. This is a case. I see so many dental professionals. Not to say that they might not need surgery. This is not a prescription. This is not not saying surgery is bad at all. But in that moment, I was like, I have to do everything I can outside of getting surgery. And that would be last case, you know, last resort. So I went back to my office and I adjusted my ergonomics. I moved my mouse positioning. I got a little pad for under my wrist, so my wrist was in neutral when I was working. I changed the position of my monitor, and then I started doing really simple stretching and strengthening practices for my hand. And my hand, I couldn't even open it fully. I couldn't open any jars. I had no strength. I had numbness and tingling and all the carpal tunnel symptoms. And within 2 weeks, I started to feel better. And within, I'd say, like 8 to 10 weeks, I had no pain, no symptoms anymore. And so that's just one example of how we can use, again, a holistic approach to take care of ourselves. But pain, severe pain, is not an indication that surgery is needed. It might be, but there are so many things that we can do to support our body. And when we're out of alignment and we're doing these things over and over and over again, that will lead to pain. And so we get to choose. A, we want to be proactive, of course, but we can choose interventions that are specific to the work that we do, that are specific to our body, that could help and maybe alleviate a lot of the pain, reduce the pain, or eliminate the pain before considering surgery.
Yes, yes, yes. So I wanna pivot a little bit, you know, to going back a bit to like the emotions that we carry too, because every time I hear you say alignment and aligned hygienist, my mind too goes, yes, the body, but also living in alignment, right? And the impact that it can have when we're not living in alignment. And that too carries such a weight. And I do think our bodies, I'm sure there's science on this too, but it adapts to even when we're not living in alignment. Like people that are oppressed or, you know, in tough situations, I think tend to have more of a hunched experience, you know, or hunched body as a result, because energetically we're feeling protective or put down. And something you and I talked about before we got started was the impact of grief in our lives and how that can show up in a variety of ways. And I think grief is a really important topic for a lot of people, just to bring awareness to it, because I think when people think grief, they think death of a person, you know, or a loved one or somebody close, which obviously that does have a lot of grief that comes with it. But something I learned after my dad passed away last year was the feelings of grief that I was having, they were so intense. And but I knew intuitively as I was going through it, because I'm fairly in touch with myself, I was like, this isn't all for him though. Like, what's going on here? So it really cracked open my sort of studying of grief. And I have a good friend who's a death doula, actually, which is an unusual thing. But just like there's birth doulas, there's death doulas. And she was really there for me during this time. And she was encouraging me to read some books and really get in touch with my grief. And through that, I learned that, yes, our body carries all of these different forms of grief. And it laid out different kinds of grief that we can carry. And I was like, oh my God, yes. Because what I was also grieving during that time was parts of like my lost, you know, childhood that I didn't, you know, as every little kid has a sort of hope and vision of what their childhood would be like. And losing my dad really, you know, poked at that and brought a lot of that grief and sadness up for me. Also, I was grieving the lost relationship that I wanted to have with him and like the disappointment of, you know, what my expectation was for him as a father and what my experience was. And then it was like the grief of my loss, like a lost identity. So as a child, you know, you have these visions of who you are going to be in the future. And, you know, we have these visions and then that doesn't come to fruition, you know. And to actually take time to grieve that identity that you thought you were going to be, even though I love my life now, it's like, oh, man, like it's just this sadness of like, man, when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be this, you know, and it's okay to acknowledge that. But again, I didn't know I had all this stuff living in my body. And I also started to release a lot of that. And yes, it was related to hip stuff and digestive stuff. And all of these things just started to unfold. And I know you've experienced some grief in your life as well. And I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that a bit and just even where you were recognizing it in your body and to share a little bit too, where maybe some people listening or watching can relate you know, and how, where they're feeling in their bodies too.
Yeah. I love that you talked about this. It's kind of a taboo topic in a lot of spaces. And I think it's just so important as we go through life. And to your point, I think people initially, they see the aligned hygienist and they think posture. And that's so much of the work that I do, but it is so much more than that. And I've experienced grief in many different forms. I'll just go through like a few. So before I was even born, actually, my sister is a year older than me. And before that, they gave birth to my brother. He died when he was 3.5 months old of SIDS. And I was born into their grief, essentially. And I became like an emotional caretaker and saw my parents grieving all the time. As a young kid, I was going to my brother's grave and didn't even know what this meant or any of that. And so that happened later when I was 12 years old. My aunt, who I was really close to, she was kind of like the black sheep of the family, like me, but she was one of my sister and like closest people in our family, a little bit younger than my parents, so we just connected better. But she actually took her life, and I had to navigate that grief kind of on my own to a certain extent. But then I've also gone through grief. I've lost other people in my life that I love and care about, but grief can look like I went through a divorce with someone who was my best friend, and it was a lot of my decision. I mean, we came to it together, but I chose it. But losing my best friend of 12 years and his family, who became like my family, I grieved a lot for that. And I grieved the life that I thought we were going to have and I thought I wanted. And that was the hardest part going through that breakup, was not only losing him, but his family, who was my family, and this life that I thought I'd have. And then I recently moved from San Diego to Massachusetts. And even just that, it came pretty suddenly to make that decision. I feel like fully prepared, and I grieved just the life that I had there. And as I shared with you that I moved to Massachusetts, where I'm from, but I ended up staying with my parents, and I thought it was going to be a short time. And what it ended up being was 2 years, because my dad was diagnosed, he's okay now, but was diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. So I ended up staying with my parents for 2 years just to support a little bit and be there as he went through that. And even though he's okay, there was a lot of grief wrapped in that. And then, you know, there's grief can take so many forms. And I feel like our culture is in even just losing your loved one, and like the time we get for grieving and bereavement and in our culture is insane to me. It hits in so many different ways, and it can hit like a wave, and then one day you're doing great, and then all of a sudden you're crumbling. And that can be really hard to understand what it is to sit with grief, I think, can be really challenging. But then to show up at work and be there for our patients and put on our best faces, that can be really challenging. And like you said before, it shows up in so many different ways. It can show up physically in our body. It can show up as stress. It can be that we're just feeling really low and like a duller version of ourselves. It obviously depends on the grief and what we're navigating and how deep it might be, but it's connected to a lot of different things.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for this conversation. And again, the work that you're doing, I think everyone should work with you in some capacity if they can. But yeah, because it's just that, you know, so many people are walking around struggling, whether they're in emotional pain, physical pain, and just having this kind of awareness so they can start working through it and having, you know, a support team to help them and to acknowledge that, yeah, you could be grieving, right? And it could be, you know, just like, I guess, in the world of trauma, it could be, you know, big T, little T, you know, big G, little G. But I think just the grieving of, you know, something I am even becoming more sensitive to is I have long-term relationships with some of the folks I work with, right, as clients. And when those partnerships end, you know, because they do, and there's always a little bit of grief there as well. It's like, oh yeah, there was this like time we had together where we did this really cool work and now that's over and it's okay. You and I, I'm assuming you are as well, highly sensitive people. And there's a lot of people that are highly sensitive people, especially in healthcare. We're in this, you know, place of serving and helping others and having that servant mentality. And to just really honor that and recognize like, oh yeah, there's going to be days where, or weeks or months or years where we're processing stuff, and to just have that level of compassion and to take it easy. Yeah, that's great.
And I always say, like, how can you take care of yourself for the season that you're in? Because we all go through different seasons, and we go through some that are really great and easy, and our exercise routine is on point, and our meditation and all the things. And then we get hit with something that, again, might be big, might be small, but might affect us quite a bit. And how do we show up for ourselves in that time? I know when I was living at home and going through all my stuff the last couple of years, my exercise changed dramatically. And I had to grieve a little bit of what I was able to do before and just show up for myself as is. And I think this conversation is so important because we do work in healthcare, and to understand that we don't know what everyone is going through, whether it's our coworkers who might be presenting as rude or snappy or irritable, might be going through something that we have no idea about. And same with our patients. That's why I love being a dental hygienist in so many ways, because I love getting an understanding of my patients and their why, instead of, oh my God, you haven't been in 2 years, and like having this judgmental tone with them or conversation. It can be like, is everything okay? Like, who knows what has gone on in that person's life in that 2 years? And how do we show up for, again, ourselves, but also the people that we're working with or surrounded by?
Yeah. Gosh, I love it. So with that, I guess, what would be a suggestion you have to anyone who's really new to body self-awareness that might be listening to this going, oh my gosh, do I have pain? Where's my pain? What would be maybe a first step that you could offer them in just exploring this concept?
Yeah, there's so many things I feel like, Brenda, you and I could talk about all of this stuff all day. If you're new to yoga or new to being aware of your body or feeling like you're disconnected, I mean, just taking more time and opportunity to slow down and to pay attention. And this could be when you're writing your notes for a patient or a brief minute between your patients, just taking time to breathe, to notice it. I mean, obviously you're breathing, but notice your breath. Can you slow the breath down so you become more connected to your body? I have alarms set in my phone twice a day to ask myself if I've meditated, because I need the accountability and the reminder sometimes. So these can be opportunities like alarms in your phone or post-its on your mirror or whatever it is to check in. Are you paying attention? To do a quick body scan. So there's so many pieces, but I'd say like, what small habits can you bring into your life and your day-to-day to help you? And if you have the opportunity to go do something like a yoga class or even a meditation for free on an app at home, I love bed yoga. I love bed meditation. So you don't have to be in this cross-legged, upright position to practice meditation. Be these really small things, but just start exploring and getting curious, I think, is the first step.
Absolutely. And I'll wrap up with this too. I love everything you said, but as you were speaking, I thought of this one thing, because I recently hired a trainer because, you know, I'm getting older and I need to do more heavy lifting. And so I hired this trainer, and one of the first things she had me do was take videos of me working out. And OMG, like, I think one of the cool things that people could even do as a first step is have like a team member take a photo of you while you're working and see it back, because my form sucked. And I thought, I mean, I've been lifting weights and I've been into fitness my entire life, right? I was like an athlete, all this kind of stuff. And because of all the weight I carry and like how I've shifted my body over the years and aging and like movement and whatever, whatever, our bodies compromise so much in how we hold ourselves. And I saw this image back and I was like, what in the world? And I was like, no wonder I have pain in these areas. And it was hilarious. And here I was thinking like, man, I'm getting really weak as I get older. And the first thing she said was, she's like, your form sucks. And it was just like my mind exploded. And as soon as she got me doing proper form, literally everything changed. Everything changed when she got me doing proper form. And before I could get to proper form, you would love this, it was more about the mobility exercises. I was doing like weeks of mobility exercises and I had no idea how immobile I had gotten in certain areas because I feel good. But man, our bodies just go right over time. And so that was just fascinating. So everything you said, and if you would agree with me, maybe having somebody take a paparazzi photo of you while you're working so you're not like trying and just see how contorted you are.
Yeah, working or working out, I always recommend that. I mean, I take videos of all my clients, whether I'm doing ergonomics with them or doing a yoga therapy session. I take photos and videos so I can show them what they're doing because you don't need it's great to have a professional or a coach or a trainer like you have in some way that can help support that process and I think streamline the process of getting to where you want to be. But just taking photos and videos of yourself can be extremely illuminating on what you're actually doing versus what you think you look like. I had one of my friends, when I was in San Diego, took a picture of me talking to one of my neighbors outside and he just sent it to me like, "Hey, I see you, you're outside." I looked at that and I was like, this is terrible. This is like, I'm sorry, like Dennis, but my head was forward, my shoulders were rounded. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to work on my posture more than I thought. So
I know. Yeah. It's so funny. It's like those memes that are like what you think you look like and then what you actually look like. Our heads can be, our minds can be very deceiving. Well, Caitlin, this is amazing. I agree. I think we could talk all day about this and do some cool stuff together. But yeah, if anyone is out there looking for support, I really hope they find you and connect with you. It's been so much fun chatting with you and I love all the work you're doing. And thank you for your honesty and sharing so openly about your journey. It's super appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me to be here, for also collaborating in this great conversation and just all the work you're doing in this podcast and bringing to light things that are really important. And like I said before, a little more taboo to actually talk about. And I think those are the important things and how we as dentistry in dentistry, but also just as humans, I think that's how we continue to evolve and move through hard times and enjoy life and live a little better.
You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.